Well, good morning. How are you guys doing? All right, I like to hear that. Always a lively crowd at 9:15. I appreciate that. My name is Kevin Valentine. I'm the lead pastor here for those of you that are new or those of you joining us online for the first time. And we are in a series called God Just Tell Me. It's adapted from a church called Life Church and Craig Rochelle. We just love the way they kind of structured this. And in this series, we are talking about God's will. And the question is, like, have you ever had a decision to make and you prayed about it? You read God's word, you got wise counsel, and still didn't know what to do. Anybody ever experienced that? I have. You kind of want to say, God, could you just kind of make this obvious, please? Like, send me an email, text, write it in the clouds. It's like, Kevin, take the job. That'd be so nice, wouldn't it? Dear 30-year-old Kevin, buy Apple stock today. Like, please, you know? Like, Chris, wherever you are, three rows in front of you, brunette. That's the one. You know, like, give me that. Like, give me the simple stuff. But God doesn't always work that way. Like, does he do that? Sometimes. But we make decisions. Sometimes they turn out great. Sometimes they don't work out so good. In fact, they turn out to be actually bad decisions, and we wish we would have known better. And it's like, I don't know if you remember, if you're my age, maybe a little younger, do you guys remember those Choose Your Own Adventure books? Like when you were a kid? And it's like, basically, for those of you that don't know, it's a book, and the whole book is Choose Your Own Adventure. At some point, it'll say, you're standing in front of a haunted house. Do you go in the haunted house, or do you run away from the haunted house? And so it's like, if you go into the haunted house, go to page 27. So you flip through 27, you find out what happens. And if you're an idiot, and you go into the haunted house, go to page 57. You know, you turn to that page. And I would be sitting there with five fingers in the book, because I wanted to know what every option was. Because I wanted to see what happened. You know, like, what should I choose? Wouldn't it be nice if you could see all of the outcomes of a decision before you make it? Like, that would be fantastic. Again, unfortunately, God doesn't work that way, but there is a way to know and learn and understand what God does want you to do. There is a way to find God's will for your life, and that is what this series is all about. And so if you're here and you're not a Christian, so I know you might be going, what's this whole God's will thing? Well, I just want to tell you that your creator, God, has a plan and a purpose for your life. There's a reason that he created you. And we want to help you find that. And it starts with you finding him. So I'm glad you're here. Before we jump into anything else, let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us, that you don't make mistakes, that you do things on purpose, with purpose, and that we're a part of that. Is an honor to be a part of your plans and purposes. And so, God, as we talk about your will, and how to find it, how to hear your voice. Lord, would you just open our hearts and minds to truth? Just help us hear your truth today. Lord, I pray that we would not hear from me today, but that we would only hear from you, and that I might only be a mouthpiece that is just sharing the good news about who you are and what you've done to all of us. In your holy name. Amen. Well, let's review where we've been. Week one, we talked about the different aspects of God's will. We talked about there being God's sovereign will. It's his big, unstoppable plan for the universe. There's nothing you can do to change it. It is just his sovereign will. It is settled. And then there's his moral will, which is how we live. We really find that in God's word. And it's a will of God that is calling us to holiness. What does God want me to do? What's his will? He wants you to live a holy life. He wants you to read his word and find out how he says is the best way to live your life and for you to live that way. And then we've got God's permissive will, where he gives us freedom to choose, because that's how love works. It's like, we can't have a love relationship with God unless we can choose to love him or not. And so that gives us the opportunity or the ability to choose not God, to not choose good and to choose evil. And that's God's permissive will. And a lot of bad things happen in this world because of God's permissive will, because he's given us, flawed human beings who have a tendency to choose evil, free will. So we make that choice, and God allows it to happen because we have to have free will. So he allows that. And then there's God's personal will, his unique calling on your life. Which is this: before you were even born, he had good works prepared in advance specifically for you to do. We call that a calling. We say God has a calling on your life. There are specific works for you to do that God planned well in advance. Finding that starts with two things. One, we talked about it week one. It's not just about uncovering God's plan. It's about knowing his heart. Like, you've got to know God's heart if you want to know what he wants you to do. Because if you trust him, there's a good chance you'll trust his guidance. So if you want to know God's will, get to know his heart. Last week, Clint did a great job. He just said, before God is concerned about what you do, he cares about who you are. He cares about your heart, cares about your character, cares about you becoming more like Jesus. And so if you want to know God's will for tomorrow, one of the best things you can do is serve him faithfully today. You want to know tomorrow? Good. Do everything that you know that he's asked you to do and allow him to work in transforming you and your heart. Do that today. And there's a good chance you'll kind of find out what God wants you to do tomorrow. And I'll just tell you what I have experienced as a sweet spot in life. And this is really what drives me to do what I do here, is because I want you to find the sweet spot in life. If you want to win, and you want your family to win with Jesus, that's kind of one of the things we're all about. We want to see your family win with Jesus. We know he's the only way that you can fully win in your life. To do that, it means stepping into the calling and plan that God has for you and your family. You want to find a sweet spot in life. You want to win as a person. You want to win as a family. Find what God's put you on earth to do and go do it. And you will find one of those sweet spots where you know who you are. You know whose you are. You know why you are on this planet, and you are fulfilling that purpose. That's really the goal. What's life to the full? Knowing who you are, who God says you are, knowing whose you are, that he loves you and that you're his, knowing what he's put you on this planet to do, and then going and doing it. There's this indescribable joy when you find that place. And maybe you think God doesn't have a plan for you specifically. Well, his word would beg to differ. 1 Corinthians 12, it tells each of us, hey, you are specially appointed. You are uniquely gifted by God. And there's a ministry just for you. Every believer has one. And God wants to reveal it to you, guide you to it, help you fulfill your purpose. So today we're going to look at the journey of the Apostle Paul, who lived out his unique and specific purpose in Christ. And we're going to see how God guided him towards his calling. And if you don't know Paul, outside of Jesus, he's arguably the most spirit-led person in the New Testament. He went from persecuting Christians to being radically transformed by Jesus. He performed miracles. He planted churches across the Roman Empire. He wrote almost half of the New Testament. Listen to how Paul speaks about his calling. Romans 15:5b, 15b to 16 says, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God. Verse 17, in Christ Jesus, then I have reason to be proud of my work for God. Verse 18, for I will not venture to speak of anything except for what Christ has accomplished through me. Verse 19, from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named. Verse 22, this is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. What do we notice about these verses? What do we need to notice about these verses? The extremely personal way that Paul talks about his ministry and his calling. Paul felt like something personal had been given to him, something unique and specific given to him to do. And let me tell you, there are a lot of things to do in the kingdom of God, but Paul received something specific from God as his personal calling, to preach the gospel where it had never been preached before. And Paul said yes to that calling, and because of his yes to that calling, he preached all over that part of the world at the time, including Rome. Because the gospel made it to Rome, it eventually made it to the West. And it's one of the reasons you and I are sitting in a church, was Paul's yes to the calling. The gospel, of course, is Jesus died for our sins of the whole world. And all somebody has to do to be saved is has to receive it, believe it, and receive it. That's it. How do you be made right with God? You believe that Jesus was who he said he was, that he died on the cross, that he raised from the dead. You receive that. And just like people who hear the gospel, heard the gospel because of Paul, there are going to be people who hear the gospel because of your yes to your calling. That's what God promises when we step into his calling, that there will be people that receive an eternal impact because of your yes to the calling of God on your life. So if you're a Christian, hands down, you are called by God. You have a calling on your life. The calling is to leverage your life for the Great Commission. That is your calling. to take your skills, your gifts, your time, your energies, your resources, leverage that for the Great Commission. That was included in your call to follow Jesus Christ, if you didn't know. Like when you said yes to Jesus, there's a calling that comes with that. Leverage your life for the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, he said, hey, come with me and follow me. I'll make you fishers of men, which means when you accepted the call to follow Jesus, you accepted the call to missions, to tell people about Jesus, sharing the gospel as you go. Matthew 28, Jesus' words to all of us, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus said that to the disciples, not the church. He said it to his people, his followers. So the question is not if you are called, it is where and how. Just say it again. If you're a follower of Jesus, the question isn't if you're called, it's just where you called and how does God want you to fulfill that calling. A lot of people wait for a perfectly detailed plan when they've already been given a clear mission. Like you're sitting there doing nothing because you're waiting. I need the plan. Give me the plan. No, you've already got the mission. Share the gospel, make disciples. You can do that anywhere. Now, the Spirit of God will guide you into your specific part of that mission. Not everything in the kingdom of God is for you, but something is. Something is. And I believe that during this series, as we discuss and pray and listen, and I'm hoping it's happening right now, that God is going to, if he hasn't already, he is going to put a particular ministry on your heart here at Crossline. Or he is going to put some people on your heart at your workplace. Or he's going to put an industry or an organization that helps people in the world, like our partner in Nicaragua. But my prayer has been that God is going to open your heart and your desires to get involved and serve him. And my hope is that you will respond and take a step towards that calling. So today, I want to get really practical. When you look at Paul's life, you see that as he was trying to figure out what to do next, where God was leading him, what God wanted him to do, there were three very specific ways that God showed him where to go and what to do. And there on the screen, God used open doors for Paul, closed doors for Paul, and then everyday choices. The same God that led Paul is the same God that'll lead you using some of the same things. So let us jump in. We'll go through these one by one. We see God lead, first of all, through open doors. I'll give you an example. During Paul's third missionary journey, this is what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8. It says, but I'll stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost. Why? Because a great door for effective ministry work has opened to me, and there are many who oppress me. So, God, you opened a door, but there's opposition. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, why did Paul stay? It wasn't a dream. It wasn't an angel that showed up. It wasn't like a cloud in the sky. It wasn't a prophetic word. It was just a wide open door. He just said the door just opened to ministry in this area. It's a clear opportunity, so Paul stepped into it. Chances are you have experienced some type of version of this. You weren't looking for a job, and suddenly a job shows up that fits your gifts, your passions, maybe even pays better, but it's just an open door. You're like, wow. Or you start thinking, I want to make a difference. And then you come to church, and you hear, maybe God is calling someone here to serve at Crossline. Maybe even Crossline Kids. And God is calling some of you to step up and serve him and help build this church through serving. And I'll just tell you, because sometimes we respond to needs. We have a need right now here at this church. We need a handful of volunteers to step into serving in our kids ministry. We just do. And a couple other areas. That's an open door. Just let me tell you. And if God is speaking to your heart, maybe he's inviting you to jump in. That's your open door. Are you willing to just step through it? For some of you, that's your next step spiritually. Start serving here. For some of you, it's leading a huddle or a class that we teach. For some of you, it's getting baptized in a few weeks. You're like, God, what should I do? Well, baptisms are coming up. Have you ever been baptized? That's the next step in your obedience. It's about being obedient step by step. It's just an open door for you. Walk through it. For some of you, it's giving generously financially, maybe for the first time tithing, actual tithing. Maybe that's the door that's open to you right now, and God's just waiting for you to step through it. I'll tell you, following God through open doors is how I am doing what I'm doing. So I'll just tell you, in college, I was on a golf scholarship to Oakland University. I found this great church that I started going to, and I just started serving. I started serving in the tech area. And then after serving in the tech area for a little while, I wanted to serve in the high school ministry. So I go, I talk to the pastor of that area, and he says, well, I don't need you in high school. I actually need some help in the middle school ministry. And I was like, well, that's not what I want to do, because it's middle school students, and they're scary, and all my friends serve in high school. But high school Dory didn't need anybody. The open door was to middle school. So I jumped in. I stepped through it, started serving. I actually liked it, believe it or not. I love those little crumb snatchers running around other people's kids. And then after a few months of doing that, just volunteering, one night this main speaker couldn't make it. Sick, calls me at 5 o'clock. He's like, hey, I'm sick. I can't speak. You got to speak tonight. It's at 7 o'clock. It's on Lazarus. And I'm like, he hung up. So I'm speaking. So I do it. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I grabbed the Bible and I started teaching about Lazarus. I was freaking out, but it actually went well. And then I did it again because they needed me again. And suddenly I'm 20 years old and I'm teaching middle school students the Bible. And they're actually listening and they're laughing at my jokes. That's why my humor's never made it out of middle school. After about a year, another door opened. They asked me to lead the high school ministry. Like the actual high school leaders came to me and said, would you help us? We need a leader, and you're doing a great job in middle school. Would you come as a volunteer and lead the high school ministry? And I'm just like, yeah. Suddenly I found myself leading and teaching and learning how to be a pastor while I'm still in school playing golf and getting an education. And the ministry started growing. Then another door opens up. I get invited a couple years into that, or a year and a half into that, to speak at this New Year's Eve event with 1,000 high school kids and middle school kids at it. And it's like the biggest room I've ever spoken to, and I'm freaking out. I'm so nervous. I'm in the middle of talking, and I go to take a drink of water, completely miss my mouth, and just all down the front. But I have no idea that it happened. So everybody's laughing, right, in the front row because they can see what happened. And I think, I am killing this right now. I am awesome. I found out later, nope, I'm just an idiot. But it went well. Somewhere in that season, I started feeling like God wanted me to be a pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor. I wanted to play professional golf. That was my path. We argued for about 3 years, God and I. He won. And so right out of college, another door. A church hired me right out of college to be their youth pastor. I was there for 5 years. And then Melissa and I, we start feeling like that church isn't quite home and that God might have something else for us. And so we just prayed a simple prayer of surrender to God's will. And we just said, God, we feel like you might be moving us somewhere because this place doesn't really feel like home. We'll go anywhere and do anything. You just tell us. And we meant it. It's just a prayer of surrender to God's will. God, you're stirring something in us. We will go anywhere. We will do anything you tell us. Would you just show us? And we are there. We prayed that the first night. Second night we prayed it. Third night we prayed it. Fourth night we prayed it. Every night. Just get on our knees, cross a bed from each other. God, we'll go anywhere, do anything. Just tell us. Within 7 days. We didn't tell anybody we were praying this. Within 7 days, two of the largest churches in the Detroit metro area call me, and the conversation goes like this. Hey, we don't know if you're looking, but we are looking for a high school pastor, and your name has come up. Would you be interested in interviewing? And I mean, we told nobody. Two calls. And it was like, I hung up from the second one. I'm like, Melissa, I think we might be going somewhere. It's like two open doors. Like the door just opened. The door to Northridge Church in Plymouth, Michigan opened up. We had 7 years of incredible ministry at that church. I mean, it was phenomenal. We had a blast there. And then God opened up the door to the promised land, Orlando, Florida. And we have been here ever since. And you just need to understand, through every open door, we were surrendered to Jesus and his will. We're just surrendered. And I believed then and I believe now that God's plans are better than mine. I believe that his dream for my life is a bigger dream than I could ever dream. And I believe that life to the full is found when I'm living in the middle of God's will. It's just what I believe. I believe that every Christian should have a belief in them about that. And I will tell you, Melissa and I just believe that, and we have found life to the full in losing our life for Jesus Christ. So, this is what I've learned about open doors and God's will. When you're ready to trust him and follow Jesus, there will be an open door for you. When you are ready to follow Jesus and trust him and his will, and you get to that point where you're like, I'll go anywhere and do anything. You just tell me. There will be an open door for you that God designed from before you were born. And he will lead you to it. And it'll be a circuitous route, but you'll eventually get there. And when God opens a door, it's not random. It's not coincidence. It's like a God-ordained opportunity for impact. And you want to meet him in that. Why? Because God's plans are bigger and better than yours. To take you to places that are far beyond what you believe you can even do in your life. And have an impact that will last for eternity. But what's interesting is, as we read for Paul, just because God opens the door doesn't mean it's easy, right? Paul said the door was from God, but there was opposition. So what do we learn? An open door doesn't mean a smooth path, right? When God opens the door for you to step into something meaningful, don't be surprised if you get pushback. The bigger the opportunity, the greater the opposition. You have an enemy. His name is Satan. This is where we get confused. God opens a door. We step through it, and it's hard. There are obstacles. There is resistance. There are problems. And so you start thinking, this must not be God. Must have heard it wrong. Let's turn around, go back through the door, find another one. Well, let me just tell you, Satan, your enemy, doesn't waste time on people that are ineffective. He doesn't waste time on people who aren't a threat to his plans. So if you're facing opposition, it doesn't mean that you're out of God's will. Sometimes it just means you're right in the middle of it. God opens doors. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And I'll just tell you, for some of us, if God opened the door and then showed us everything, we'd never walk through it. Because there's going to be difficulty and hardship along the way, and none of us want that. We always want we want the good skies, clear days, and easy going. Following God is never like that. Like when you read in the Bible, God never asks anybody to do anything easy, and it never goes the way they plan. But they're always full of the joy of the Holy Spirit as they do it. So, how does God guide us? Sometimes it's just open door. Second way God guides us is God works through closed doors. Let me show you this really clearly. Acts 16. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. What does that mean? We don't know exactly. I mean, it could be very practical, like they tried to go and the road was washed out, their camels broke down, AAA wasn't available, and we don't know. They got sick, someone stopped them. All we know is that they recognized it as God saying no. God does it again. Verse 7, then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Tros. They weren't being rebellious. They weren't being selfish. They were literally going to try and preach the gospel. Their motives were pure, and God just closed the door to that area. God said no twice. This shows us something we don't always like, but we desperately need from God. God's no is still direction. You know that? When God says no, it is still his direction, which should be comforting to us. And I'll just say this because of me. I know myself. I can be stubborn, hard-headed, and really convinced my plan is the best plan. And sometimes what I want isn't what God wants. It's just reality. But God loves me enough to protect me from me and to not always give me what I want. Because what he wants is better. And that means closing a door sometimes on what I want. Now, as a human being, is there a single one of us that likes hearing the word no? No. We never want the word no. None of us do, but it's comforting to know that we have a loving father that cares about us. That's the one saying no. Like when my kids were little, I didn't let them do everything they wanted to do, right? Some of their ideas were just dumb. And when they would come up with their ideas that weren't going to end well, I would say no. No, you can't stop a running fan with your tongue. No, it's not okay. Well, in the same way, God loves us enough to say no when it's necessary. Let me give you an example. 6 years ago, God gave us a vision to use youth sports to reach families. And myself and our elder board, we started looking for 10 acres of land and just praying and going, God, you know, that's what we feel like you want us to do. You want us to buy land in the Horizon West area, build our first permanent home. Right after we started looking, I just happened to meet this guy that owned 5 acres of land on Avalon Road, right in the area we were looking. And it was awesome. Like, I met him and I told him what we were doing. And I'm like, hey, would you be interested in selling your land? He's like, actually, I would. I'm like, well, that's cool. There's 5 acres. I'm like, who owns the land next to you? He's like, well, this person and this person. And so we worked together on this for over the course of months and conversation and everything, got it all set up. We had 3 landowners that were all willing to sell us 10 acres of land right on Avalon Road. And we're just sitting there thinking, God, you are in this. I mean, you are lining this up. This is perfect. This is so good. Felt like God dropped it in our lap. You know, we're just like, oh man, God, you're all over this. But then we started doing our due diligence. And we found out that the county in this particular area had incredibly strict limitations. No nightly activities, limited usage. It'll be a fight every step of the way. And we were told clearly, you will not be able to do this vision on that land. It's just not possible. And you can try, but you'll be fighting for years and they will stonewall you the whole time because they don't want that kind of stuff in this area. Well, we had a choice. We could take the land and shrink the vision, right? We go, oh, we can't do all of it? That's okay. We'll just take the land anyways. We'll just build a church and just do church stuff a couple nights a week. We'll like live within the rules. We'll do that way. We could have made that choice, but we didn't because we felt like the vision that God had given us was something he wanted us to pursue and that we needed to trust him that if he closed this door on these 10 acres, that he would open up another door. So we walked away. Because we felt like God wanted us to pursue the vision that he gave us, not shrink it down and dumb it down to be fitting on a piece of property that we think he might have given us. So we walked away. Back to square one, we had nothing. This is after a year of work. Well, that closed door, 12 months later, led to the 15 acres we now have on Old YMCA Road. Fits everything God has called us to do, plus. Could have never dreamed that it would work out this way. But that closed door that God gave us led to a bigger and better one. It's just what it did. Still can't believe we get to steward this property together. And let me just tell you this. If Crossline is your church home, that property is something that God has asked all of us to steward together. This is not my land. It's not the church's land. It's ours. Like God has given it to you just as much as he's given it to me for us to use it to build his kingdom and to reach people far from God. Here's the principle. God can close the wrong doors to get you to the right place. It's what he does. Some of you, you need to listen to me right now. The door that you wanted, the one that didn't open, might not have been God rejecting you. It might have been God protecting you. And if you're a person of faith, that's how we look at it because we trust God. Maybe what felt like frustration and a closed door was actually God's protection. Maybe when you thought you knew best and God redirected you, he was leading you to a better yes. And some of you, you know exactly what that means because years ago, you know, you wanted to marry that other person. You wanted to marry that guy or that girl and you just knew that it was going to happen. And like years go by, it didn't happen. And you look back now and you go, oh Lord, thank you so much. Why? Because you might be sitting next to your better yes right now. You've never gotten to that better yes without God closing the door on that other one. So how does God guide? Sometimes he opens a door. Sometimes he closes one. And sometimes God just gives you everyday choices, just everyday choices. Like he literally lets you choose. God doesn't always give you a sign. Sometimes he just gives you a choice. And again, we're going to watch as the Apostle Paul describes how he moved from one place to another. He didn't say the Holy Spirit spoke to me, so this is what I did. He said in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 5, he says, I'm coming to visit you after I've been to Macedonia, for I'm planning to travel through Macedonia. Perhaps I'll stay a while with you, possibly all winter, then you can send me on my way to my next destination. This time, I don't want to make just a short visit and then go right on. I want to come and stay a while, if the Lord will let me. Here's what this shows us. When you're living in the moral will of God, you're loving people, you're pursuing holiness, you're following Jesus, you're under his sovereign will, sometimes within that, God will say, you choose. It's up to you. Paul, stay short or stay long. Your choice. Either is fine. It's like a good father that says, I trust you. You want to move? Choose where you want to move to. You want to take this job or that job? I'm more concerned with your character than your title. You want to serve in Crossline Kids or on the tech team? Either way, I'm going to bless you. Either way, if your heart is to honor God, you're going to be just fine. And I'll just tell you, when I face decisions like that, so sometimes I will have decisions, I don't get a real sense of clear direction one over the other. And I get the idea that God is saying dealer's choice, you know. He's like, choose. I pray and I ask God for a path of peace. And I want to explain this. I found this path of peace when I was in high school. So I'm 17 years old. I had a really good end of my college or high school golf career to where it looks like I can play in college. I really wanted to play golf in college. So I actually talked to two schools. I had two schools that gave me the same offer, Oakland University in Michigan, Stephen F. Austin in Texas. So I grew up in Texas. Both these schools said the same thing to me. We don't have money in the scholarship this year, but we'll give you a preferred walk-on status. And if you come up here and you try out and you make the team, we'll give you money the years after that. I'm like, well, that's great. Honestly, similar schools, two different places, same opportunity. I have no idea what to do. I'm like, I'm stressed out. And I put the decision off till 3 days before I have to leave and be at one of these schools. And I don't know what to do because I want to do the right thing. And God's like not showing me anything. And I'm just kind of learning how to listen to God anyways. And so I was very spiritual at the time. So I did the drop and flop method on my bed. I took my Bible. I dropped it. It flopped open. I read it. That's what I did. And so I read this passage of scripture that shows up. And it was like just perfect for this moment. It's Philippians 4:6. Do not worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Then he gives us instructions. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all that he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I read that passage. I did exactly what it said. I'm like, God, thank you for the opportunity. I need you to tell me what to do. And that was my prayer. I did exactly what it said, and it worked. I suddenly had like this, there's this supernatural peace that just washed over me. I wasn't stressed anymore. I had complete peace. I still didn't know where to go. I'm like, thanks for the peace. I'm glad I'm not stressed, but what do I do? Then the next day, I still didn't know where to go. And I felt like either would be fine. So I started asking God for a path of peace. I'm like, God, if there is any one of these two ways, that's just going to be a little better than the other. Would you give me just a little more peace towards it? Just give me a path of peace. I feel like I could choose either one, but give me a path of peace if there's one that's better than the other. And at that time, over the next 2 days, I just had a clear sense of peace for Oakland University. Can't describe it other than the more I thought about Oakland, the more I thought about Stephen F. Austin, I just had a little more peace about going to Oakland. Sometimes God will give you that path of peace. Sometimes he just leaves it dead center and it's like, dealer's choice. And you're like, oh, it'd be so much better. Ever since then, when it comes down to two choices or directions, and I get the sense God will bless either way, I just ask God for a path of peace. Like, would you just give me peace towards the direction that might be better if there is one? And I will tell you that God has answered that prayer of mine throughout my life. Since I was 17, I feel like he's just given me peace toward the options that he wants me to take or the ones that might just turn out better even though I could choose both. Now, you might be sitting here going, okay, great. I think I want to trust God for the next step. But what if I get it wrong? What if I screw it up? What if I like totally mess this thing and make every wrong decision and things start falling apart? Well, good news. Here's what Paul says. Ephesians 1:11. Furthermore, because we're united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and watch this, under his sovereign, unstoppable will, he makes everything work out according to his plans. Like, God's just like, look, even if you screw this up, even if you it was just the Taco Bell you ate last night talking and you make a dumb decision, I'm still going to make good. It's still going to work out okay, because I've still got you. He works out everything together for the good of those who love him. You may want a map. God, show me the whole picture. God never gives you a map. He just gives you a lamp. Scripture says it this way. Your word, God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God, your words direct my steps. God's word is a lamp unto my feet. It doesn't say it's a spotlight to the whole map. It's a lamp to your feet. Well, God, I need to see steps 7, 8, and 9 before I'm going to take 1, 2, and 3. And God's like, you want to see 7, 8, 9, you're going to have to take 1, 2, 3, 4, four, five, six. Then I'll show you seven. Because it's a lamp to your feet. God doesn't need to show you the whole picture. If he showed you the whole picture, A, you might not choose it, and B, you wouldn't need to trust him with the next step. So God's just like, would you just trust me with your next step? He's a good God. He's a good father. He loves you. That's why Paul said, look, we walk by faith, not by sight. That's how we walk. We trust God. We trust in the Lord. He directs our steps. I don't have to know it all. I don't have to figure it all out. I don't have to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then I'll do it. I just believe God is good and that he'll direct my steps. So I'll just take the first one. You want certainty? God calls you to faith. You don't have to be certain to be faithful. You don't have to be certain to be faithful. So when you say yes to a decision God's leading you to, you're not just choosing an option. You're actually choosing to trust God. You just have to be willing to ask him sincerely to show you the next step and be willing to take it when he does. Because I don't know if you guys were listening 2 weeks ago. If you do, I'm going to ask you to shout it out if you remember. God doesn't give us his will for consideration. He gives us his will for? Seriously, people? Think. You can do, one person can do this. It kind of is the same syllable length as consideration. God doesn't give us his will for consideration. He gives it to us for? Participation? Somebody say it over there? Participation. Okay, whoever just said participation after I said it, I'm still giving you credit. Apparently, I'm not as good at my job as I think I am. I'll have to work on that. How do I get people to listen to me? How do I get people to understand? No, I'm just kidding. But when God gives you his will, he's given it to you for you to participate with him in it. And if you're just going to consider it and put it in your list of options, good luck hearing from God. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I just mean he knows your heart. And he's not interested in being a list of options for you. He's interested in being the option. And when he becomes the option for you, you will hear from God. There will be doors open. You have to be willing to say yes to your calling. So God guides us through open doors. He guides us through closed doors. He guides us through everyday choices. We're going to come back to this, but he gives us his will for, not for consideration, but for? Okay, yeah, lame. All right. Next week, you're going to be on it, though, okay? Next week, this is an open book test next week, okay? You know the answer. We got this. Let's talk application real quick. How do I know if what I'm hearing is from God? How do I know if what God's asking me to do is his voice? I just want to give you a few questions to ask because you always have to vet when God tells you to do something. You need to have some wise people in your life that you're talking to about it. And there's a few questions you can ask that'll just give it to you. The first question, is this aligned with what God has already made clear in Scripture? Is this aligned with what God has already made clear in Scripture? Is it in alignment with his word? I read an article one time, this woman, she said, God told her to become a stripper. And I was like, pretty sure he didn't, you know? So it's going to be in alignment with his scripture. Second question, am I walking in obedience in the areas that are already clear? Are you in the moral will of God already? Are you doing everything that you know that God has asked you to do and living a life of holiness? The third is this door actually open or am I trying to force it because it's what I want? You've got to ask yourself that question. And then the last one, is this hard because it's refining me or blocked because God's redirecting me? Those are four really important questions to kind of ask, and you can take a picture of the screen or you can write those down. But let me just close with this. We want to be a place that builds steady families in a really shaky world. Like that's who we want to be. We want to be a place where families are pursuing God's will for their lives. And so I just want you to imagine your home and us being a place of homes where decisions don't produce panic. That'd be cool. Decisions weren't panic-filled, but there was this process that you walked through with God that just God just showed up and did amazing things. Where imagine a home where difficulty strengthens faith instead of shakes it. Imagine you and your family going through tough times, but it actually draws you closer to God. It doesn't shake your faith. Where closed doors are interpreted as care, not punishment. As God's direction, not God, getting on to you about something or not giving you something because you're not doing the right things. You parents, imagine your kids watching you walk through uncertainty without spiraling. Imagine them watching you do that, watching you pray and seek wisdom and move forward, even though there's no guarantees, because God is leading you. And I will just tell you, when families learn the discernment of God's will, anxiety decreases. And when anxiety decreases, peace becomes visible. A church full of steady families becomes a steady presence in a very chaotic world. And that's what we want to be. We don't need perfect certainty, right? We just need faithful trust in the one who has our very best interest in mind, loves us more than we even love ourselves. And so I want you and your family, and I know God wants you and your family to be in the center of his will. That's what this whole series is about, and that's the best place for you. And for some of you, let me just tell you, getting into the center of God's will starts today with you stepping across the line of faith for the first time and believing in Jesus. And so would you all